KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, we got some football tonight. Some real football and some fake football and a lot of other stuff to get to. Let's do it. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, who knows what we'll come up with. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776. I think I'm going to go with Chocolate Thunder. I think I like that.
Yeah.
You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. Aaron's got you. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitz. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you want to watch us on the Twitch channel and get involved in the chat, you can do that as well. Be happy to read those. So plenty of ways to get in touch with the show, and it's a Thursday, which means it's really the weekend, because the weekend starts early now, and we got football to watch tonight, some really good college games, the fourth preseason game, which can't wait to flip through that while I'm watching other stuff, and but real things to bet on. It's a great night. Stoked. What's going on, Hoffman? Other than your microphone, you look like a child over there with that.
Dude, I'm so sick of these guys. I'm so sick of these guys. Everyone always feels like, how often do you see me come in here and like make adjustments on this microphone?
Daily.
What do you see me adjust?
The height, because it sits down almost on the desk, so you have to bring it up
No. That's what, you're sitting down like this now because it's broken. I don't adjust it. You know why? Because I've got an adjustable chair. So I bring the chair to where the mic is. Everybody else seems like they've got to unscrew this and pull it up and pull out. I don't understand it. That's the same. It's the same reason everybody uses that stupid ass blue chair, because they don't want to look short on camera, even though everybody who sits in this chair besides me is short. Get over it. You're short. Deal with it.
We do have some tiny mofos around here,
but no one cares if you're short on camera. We've got to turn mics around for certain people. I won't name names, but there's some people who, for whatever weirdo Howard Hughes reason, don't want to be on camera. So they sit on the other side of the table and turn the mics. ADR engineer said we've gone through 40 of these mic booms. 40. We've been in this studio for what? A year and a half, 2 years?
It's a little longer than that.
Two years?
It's been, I think, maybe closer to 3 or 4, but still.
Okay.
10 a year is too many. Even if it's 4 years.
It's ridiculous.
I'm not good at math.
Yeah.
But that's silly.
It's too damn high.
Steven, the weather guy, says perhaps you should fire them and hire taller talent. Problem solved.
Maybe that's the case.
Yeah, well, I'll just say this. You can make a policy. You're the boss.
Oh, there's going to be a policy.
And just tell them. Quit. Because you know what? Whoever breaks one, that comes out of their check.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Because these things aren't cheap, and then maybe people will quit messing around with them, and
now,
you'll be fine.
What's going to happen is that person who doesn't like to be on camera is going to come in here and mess around with Brandon's camera, because I'm not going to let him touch the mics anymore, and now Brandon's going to be pissed off.
No, he can't mess.
I'll be honest.
No, don't mess with the cameras either.
I can't go around worrying about.
It's real simple, guys. That's not your damn job. You don't mess with the mics. You don't mess with the cameras.
If it's me or Brandon pissed off, it's going to have to be him.
No, just
it's just going to have to be him. Sorry.
No, just tell the guy who doesn't like the camera to come in here with a damn mask or something. If you're that paranoid about it, the reality is this is the job, and that's part of what you're getting paid to do is to be. Listen, you think I want to be on freaking camera for 3 hours?
Yeah.
I mean, look at me. I'm a hideous beast.
Yeah.
I make Shrek look like Ryan Gosling. But I come on here and I'm on here for 3 hours. I don't bitch about it. I don't mess up microphones or cameras or say, hey, man, can you make that camera a little different so that it shows all AJ and no me? That's part of the job.
Didn't y'all have to stand at Cumulus?
I did a lot because we had high tables.
Yeah, it was the high top counter, right?
I stood pretty regularly. And I also, but at the time, I stood when I was in Austin too. I just I felt more engaged when I was standing.
Yeah, sometimes it actually
that's not an option here.
No, no, this you don't really have.
Oh no,
choice.
We'll build a new one.
But sometimes when we're on the road, if it's an option, I'll stand because
same.
Yeah, it's just. But this one, no, it's not really an option. But listen, you're working with a lot of divas here, apparently, and you know I used to work with a lot of divas.
Remember when people thought I was the diva around here?
Well. Yeah. Doesn't mean you're not. It just means you got a lot of divas
working
for you.
I'm not a diva when
it
comes to what how the microphone is set up. I can tell you that.
It's pretty simple, though. All you got to do is you make the policy and make the same thing with the camera. Keep their damn hands off of it. I think the Rays have just tied things up and maybe taking the lead here.
Oh, no.
I'm actually... I've been watching this game because my wife is there with a bunch of her work friends for the half-price beers.
Of course.
So I'm kind of rooting for extra innings. I want them to be, like, totally trash so that when she finally staggers home tonight, I can be like, dude, just go to bed. I got college football. I'm going to be watching Aggie.
You want extra innings, they better get Davinsky out of there. Oh, boy, God. Every time I see Yordan in the outfield, yeah. I'm like, yeah, now I see why they think he's a DH.
Oh, man.
Oh, well.
So... But, hey, he makes up for it with the bat. He really does. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And, so what are your plans for watching tonight?
I think I'm just going to go home and watch.
Which games? I mean, what are you going to focus on the most? Like, I'm going to watch... Obviously, I want to see some Aggie just to see how they look.
I'll be on that through the entirety of that game because
I've
got a wager on that.
I'm going to watch a little of them. I'll watch a little of I'm interested in UCLA Cincinnati too, just from I want to see Chip Kelly year two standpoint. And plus, I like to scout the rest of the AAC since that's who UH is going to be playing against. I don't know how much Texans I'll actually pay attention to tonight. Because this game is preseason's already useless. This is the most useless.
Yeah.
And I think I've seen enough of Joe Webb to last me a lifetime. So I probably won't be watching too much of that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, let's talk about why a walk with the bases loaded gets you an RBI, even though you didn't bat the ball.
I love Barry, and I love that he's a baseball nerd, but that was the dumbest. I listened to about 2 minutes of that and then switched over to listen to the game. And immediately regret. This is how bad that conversation was. I told him when we came in, that's the dumbest conversation I've ever heard on that show, which is saying a lot. But I flip over to listen to the Astros broadcast. What a piece of garbage that is. Not just the people doing it, but the quality of it. My God.
What was the problem?
Just they're like having these long music beds play between innings because they're not hitting their spots with the commercials or they're coming back too soon. And the sound quality is terrible. And the guys doing it are terrible. I finally just like, okay, I'm not listening. I'm going to listen to music. You guys have chased me off.
Why didn't you just listen on Sirius?
That's a good question. Probably because if I don't hear what channel it's on.
It's hard to find.
I don't want to go through and just dig.
No, I feel that.
Dig through there because that's the only thing. My only beef about Sirius is they'll come on and they'll say, okay, you go to 288 for Astros and whatever. And it probably is on it. The MLB.
There used to be a channel that just went through and told you what channel every game was on, and they stopped doing that.
Yeah,
that's dumb. That's a mistake. I liked that channel,
but that's the thing. If I miss what channel it's going to be on, then I don't want to go digging while I'm driving because that's kind of a pain in the ass.
Well, we've got some really important stuff to discuss. Not something dumb like RBI with the bases loaded walk. I did Drink of Ages last night.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how that went.
It went really well, man. Had a couple buddies come out. Dave from used to brew at Whole Foods in B52. He's now working with Urban South Brewing. They're going to open up here in Houston probably around the end of the year. He came out, and like I said, Marcus from Weathered Souls came out. It was a good time.
8-6 Tampa now.
Oh, I told you if they leave Davinsky in, there's no extra innings. Boy, that guy sucks.
But they're only in the
he?
Seventh. They're only in the seventh. The Astros have plenty of chance to tie this up. I'm rooting for 12 or 13.
When did he get so bad?
But that was just that. That was ugly pitch. Anyway, sorry.
Anybody's hitting that ball.
Yeah.
And my wife had asked me. She said, "Hey, I'm going to drive through do you want me to pick you up some food? Because she was meeting me. And my wife was there, so she met me at like 7:20. And I said, I feel like this was when she was getting food was like 6:30. I was like, I feel like if you get me food now, it'll be cold when I get it, and it's just going to be unsatisfying. So I said, there's a Payway right next to Drink of Ages. I'll get some food at Payway. Get to Drink of Ages. There's a sign on the door at Payway saying this location is permanently closed. Which I don't know what's going on with Payway. Are they closing all over the place? Because the one up by my house recently closed too.
It must be then.
I guess their model of like mid-grade Chinese food is not going well. So I did the show, drank a few beers, of course, that we shared a lot of beers. And then I'm driving home and I'm like, I forgot I haven't eaten dinner. And my wife is like, well, stop and get some. We're in separate cars. So I stop at Chacho's. Either of you familiar with Chacho's? Have you?
No.
Yep.
Aaron, have you eaten there?
Yep. Used to eat there in San Antonio and here.
Okay. So I've always liked Chacho. It's not high quality Tex-Mex by any stretch, but they do give you a ton of food. And I've always enjoyed this thing called the Monster Kong Nachos. And there was a time when I was doing food challenges that we did a Monster Kong Nachos challenge for time. And I'm this table right here can't hold the Monster Kong Nachos.
Oh, wow.
It's a serious thing of nachos. Obviously, I didn't need that much food last night, so I got a half order of Monster Kong Nachos. I get home and I dive into these nachos and like, what is going on here? There's freaking celery in the nachos. Celery.
Ugh. Who does that?
They've never done it. I want a representative from Chacho's to call in and explain themselves. 713-780-3776. I tweeted at the company today. No response from them. And then I realized they haven't tweeted anything since 2018. So they're probably not checking that thing with much regularity. But I'll be honest. I was offended. And I'm of the belief that that's borderline criminal to put celery on nachos at a Tex-Mex restaurant.
You're not, I've got to say, I don't think you're nachos if you have celery.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's beef, there's chicken, there's jalapenos, there's guacamole, there's peppers, there's onions, obviously cheese.
Yeah, you can throw some lettuce on there. There's all kinds of stuff.
I don't like lettuce.
I don't
on
like it
nachos.
On there, but
put it on there.
All right,
though.
That's fine.
But if you're right, though. If you are going to throw some green vegetables on there, bell peppers and jalapenos are the first two choices.
Well, jalapenos should be a part of any nachos. That to me is almost like having the chip.
But if you're going to go further down the green vegetable road, lettuce is acceptable. I've just never considered celery to even be an option for nachos.
The only thing you should use celery for is dip on its own. That's it. Celery has no other use.
I'm not a big celery guy. I know there's some people who put celery in like gumbo.
She puts it in soups and stuff like that. And basically what I do is I take the part of the soup that doesn't have it. So when it's done, there's just a bunch of celery left. Like,
celery
you can eat that crap.
Such a stupid, stupid vegetable. Celery's, to me, it's up there with cucumbers in the useless vegetable category.
I would agree.
And I know you hate pickles.
Yeah, pickles to me are just disgusting.
Celery's not even listed in the menu as an item on the nachos.
That's what I'm saying. I looked this up last night. So how did they decide, you know what? While we're making this guy's nachos, like, and this the box is like stuffed. I mean, this is, if you've ever had those nachos, it is a full plate of nachos. It's a lot of food. I don't know how they decided. Let's fill this thing to the brim, and then we'll throw in some celery. Disgusting.
Can they legally do that?
I don't know.
Well, I can tell you who can tell me that. Lawyer Dave. What's up, buddy?
Well, I can't say as I've ever had celery and nachos myself.
It's absurd.
But if AJ wants us to bring suit against Chachos for fouling his nachos, so we'll definitely take a look at it.
I appreciate that. I want to know what kind of grounds we've got here.
Just cheap filler nonsense to inflate the volume, but not the quality. That's what it is.
Well, what you can do is if somebody's in a wreck or they have a slip and fall accident, somebody asked me the other day about, do you do workman's comp? So I sent them all your information. You can help with all that, right?
You bet. We can help the Blitzers with any kind of a legal matter, particularly when they get hurt. That's what we specialize in over here. If they got any other kind of legal question, we get them all the time through our website, lawyerdave.com, and through our Twitter account, LawyerDaveLaw, and, of course, our telephone number is 713-626-8900. I'm in the office right now, so if you've got any of those kinds of legal questions, or particularly if you've been hurt, and like Fred, we've talked about this before, when they don't have any money and they need to see a doctor, do we help those folks out?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You get them set up, right?
You bet. We get them set up with no money out of their pocket so they can get the care they need, get better, get back to work, get on with their lives. And that's a real impediment, oftentimes the main impediment for people getting medical treatments. They can't doggone afford it.
Well, and that's the thing. You don't charge for consultations. You don't take a dime until they win. And that's the best part of it. If they've got something to bring to you, they don't have to put a whole bunch of money up front. You got them covered.
No money at all. And you're right. When we win together, if we happen to lose, we lose together. When we win, we get paid. If we don't win, we don't get paid. And that's the thing about the Blitzes. They're a very sincere group of people, which is why I've loved advertising with you guys for the last couple of years now. These people come to me. They're honest. They're not trying to create some kind of a false dialect. They say, Dave, I've been hurt. I was in one of them was in a plant explosion, and he got some pretty good burns. And so we took him because his original PCP didn't want to deal with the guy, so we sent him to a specialist, a burn specialist. They're taking care of him. That's the kind of stuff we do. We take the extra mile for the Blitzers. We sure do.
And you're based here, but you practice all over the state, so if you've got a problem over in the Golden Triangle or anywhere there, you can help them out. And tell them the number and how they can get in touch with you.
Yep, hit me up at 713-626-8900. I'm here right now. Or Lawyer Dave Law is my Twitter account, or lawyerdave.com is my email address. But once and for all, folks, give me a chance to help you out. I'll do my best for sure, get you the right place. You better dial Dave.
Yeah, and I'll just throw in there, if you can't remember all that, you can always just hit me up on Twitter, and I'll give you all that information. Dave, thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. See you later.
This is The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And a bunch of people reminded me that you can't get beer after the seventh inning, so I made sure to text the wife and tell her they better load up here because it's the seventh inning.
Oh, definitely don't want extra innings in.
And she's wondering how in the hell they're losing when Tampa sends out 50 pitchers and they all suck. It's like, well,
that's Tampa.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
713-780-ESPN is your number. Hey, can I make a little announcement?
You are now a proponent of celery on nachos.
No. In fact, somebody mentioned I enjoy a nice celery stock in my Bloody Mary. I can't stand Bloody Marys.
Yeah, I don't drink Bloody Marys either.
My breakfast drink has always been a screwdriver. Get a little orange juice, get a little vodka. But Bloody Marys, to me, and I know some people like them, but they're disgusting. Anyway, for fans of Sports Map, starting Monday, Norman Chad's syndicated column will be on Sports Map.
Very cool.
Norman, I've known for a long time. We did that at the he did it for us at the Chronicle. He's been continuing to do it ever since, and it's really cool to have somebody like that on the site who's nationally known and. Doing it for...
Well, I mean, besides me.
You're hardly ever on the site. Now that you've become a manager, you don't do much except occasional videos.
Yeah, I do videos, Fred.
Occasional videos. Like, not like every week. You're no Joe Blank. You're not out there twice a week. Or Chuck Palillo.
True.
But yeah, he writes a very funny column. And so anybody in the poker world knows him. Obviously, he's one of the main commentators for the World Series of Poker. He's been on the show several times. And looking forward to having his work as part of Sports Map starting Monday. And give me a real nice deal because we're friends. So there you go. Bernardo, so you're not a fan of micheladas either. Nope, not really. I spicy drinks at all, I'm not really into. Especially not for breakfast. The main bar in the outfield under Torchy sells beer until the game ends.
Oh, really?
Let me text that.
Oh, really?
But yeah, I can tell they've already been partaking a little bit just from the text about how the... all 800 of the pitchers that they've used today. All right, so it's 8-6 in the bottom of the seventh. One out, runners on first and second for your Astros.
You just missed a play that was all Tampa, where the looked like third. Oh, here you go. Third baseman overran the ball.
Oh, whoops. Oh, he just let that one handcuff him a little. That's an E. But, hey, some other good news. Just throw this out there. Lions Poker Palace back with us next week.
Back in business, baby. Yeah.
So very happy to have those guys with us. And looking forward to getting out there and playing some poker and doing some things with them. Guest-wise, Brad Powers today at 6. We'll talk college football betting. Rafael Esparza will also join us from MyBookie and for a brief segment at 5 o'clock. So we will be getting our gambling on today and our sports and whatever else comes up. And here's a tease ahead to Gym of the Day. Sex robot story.
Yeah, I saw that. This is big news.
It is big news.
It's terrifying.
It is big news for me because you know how I feel about those things. All right, 713-780-ESPN. You want to take a call? Let's see what Tyler wants. What's up, Tyler?
Sports.
Yo, sports.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's college football season again, and I had a couple plays that I absolutely love, and I don't know if I'm overthinking things or just wanted to see if you guys might have thought the same. A&M at -33, I think it's probably gone up a little bit. Love that just because Texas State is, they're not good. And then also the Utah BYU game. I took Utah at -5 at, Utah State. Actually, I believe it's Utah. But I took them at -5. They've gone all the way up to 6 to 6.5. But just wanted to see if you guys thought anything about that and maybe the over-unders on the Cincinnati-UCLA game. But sports, happy football season. Good luck this year. I'll be following closely. Y'all take it easy.
All right. Thanks, man.
I think I kept track of all of them.
Okay.
Let's go backwards. Cincinnati-UCLA over. I would lean that way. I don't have a play on that, but
I lean towards. I think I'm starting to lean towards UCLA. I don't. It's not a play for me though.
Yeah, but I think if you're going to play the total over, we'll save Aggie for last. The other one was Utah, which if you got
you
that,
like Utah,
I like Utah at 5.5. If you got it at that, once it got closer to 7, I don't. So
I like BYU if it gets to 7. I said that yesterday. It's 6.5 now, so it's still a no play for me. So I guess if you've got Utah at a minimum, you beat the number, which is if you've got them at 5, so that's good. But yeah, I'm looking for a 7 with BYU, which I'm guessing I'm not going to get at this point.
And as far as A&M, I think I would be on the other side of this, and I'll tell you why. A&M's got a pretty big game next week; they're looking ahead to.
Yeah,
I do think that you'll see some improvement with Spavital taking that team over. Plus, I don't think A&M's going to be in any hurry to run up the score on these guys. They're not going to be wanting to show a lot. Now, it may not matter. The talent differential here is definitely 33 points. So I don't think it's a bad play, but it's not a play I would make because I just think there's enough factors. They may win it 60-0, but I don't anticipate. If you're Jimbo Fisher, you're not showing a whole hell of a lot here this week. You know, this is a get your guys out, you know, win a game, get them some reps, find out what you got with some of the young guys, and keep everything under wraps because you play Clemson next week and you'll want to throw everything at them. And I feel the same way about Clemson in terms of how them against Wake Forest. I don't think they're going to be out there. Do you think Trevor Lawrence is really going to play four quarters in that game?
I don't think so.
He shouldn't.
I like the under in that game.
Well, there you go. So that's just my opinion. But you asked for our opinion, so there you go. Good luck to you. I hope you win some money, man.
I hope you don't win on that that Aggie bet.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Now 8-7 Tampa, 2 on and 2 out. Hey, since they play tonight and their season's opening, what are your thoughts on the Texas A&M season?
I think that A&M has got a good team. They're obviously well coached. I think that they play such a ridiculously tough schedule that it's hard to picture them, you know, being a real factor late in the season. I do think that that's a team that could probably win 8-9 games. But when you play, I think they've literally got the three toughest teams in the country on their schedule.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be a better football team than they were last year, but that may not translate into a better record just because of that. That doesn't mean they're going to lose all those games. I think I wouldn't be shocked if they upset Clemson or Alabama. I don't think they're beating all those guys, though. And looking at their schedule, to me, there's six losable games on the schedule because I don't know what Auburn's going to be. That game may or may not be hard. They're starting a true freshman. That's a team that beat them last year. They should be better than Auburn. I'll throw Mississippi State in there as a team that you go, they might be good enough to pull off an upset. A&M's better than them, but they could lose that. And just if everything goes wrong. And, of course, Alabama, Clemson, LSU. I feel like there's no way they lose all six of those. Winning all six would – I mean, if they do that, they're playing – for the championship, and I just don't know if they're ready for that yet. I think they're probably still a year away. But to me, it depends on, does Kellen Mond take the same jump this year that he did last year? If he does, then they have a fighting chance against those teams. I think they're a very good football team that just happens to be up against a really tough schedule. And tonight not being one of them. But, man, I can't wait for that Clemson game next week. I don't think they're going to win, but I think they have a shot.
Okay.
And
I think it being in Clemson makes it
gives Clemson a big advantage, but the other part of that is people forget Clemson lost that entire defensive line for the most part. Those guys were fantastic. They've still got good players there. Aggies lost some offensive line. Well, they lost one offensive lineman. They got pretty much everybody back. It just is, does Kellen Mond take that step? That's the question for me. Georgia's the other team that they play that I didn't mention.
So with the exception of Georgia and LSU, and they're both road games and they're back-to-back late in the season, their last two games, with the exception of those two games, their scheduling lines up where every time they're going to play a really good team, they have sort of a walk-through the week before.
Yeah.
So when it starts this week, they get Texas State at home. Next week they're at Clemson. Okay, then they get Lamar.
Yeah.
Then they get Auburn the next week, and then they get kind of a double bye week before Alabama because they get Arkansas, which will be in Arlington,
right?
And then they get an actual bye week,
and then Alabama,
and then Alabama. So that's to me that's great setup for your scheduling. Then they get Ole Miss. Horrible.
Should be bad this year.
And then they get Mississippi State. Good team.
Good team, yeah.
Then they get UTSA. And then they get South Carolina, who I think they're better than, but it's still a pretty decent team. And then those last two at Georgia, at LSU, there's no break on those. But
we'll know what they are by then. And that's the thing. I think it comes down to Kellen Mond and how much better he can be with another year of Jimbo Fisher. Because I don't think they'll lose the two games I mentioned that with, say, Mississippi State and Auburn. I think catching Auburn early in the season with a true freshman quarterback is a good thing. So I don't think they lose those games. So now we're down to four. They're going to beat one of those teams.
Clemson, Georgia, or Alabama?
Or LSU. I'm throwing LSU in there, too.
Okay.
And I think LSU and A&M are in almost the exact same boat.
I think so, too. I tend to think from like a power ratings perspective, I kind of think of those two teams in the same range. I think Alabama, Georgia, Clemson are on a different level than them, but it's not to say that they can't beat one of those
teams.
But they can also easily lose to a team that they're better than.
Right, right. And it just depends on, well, how big a gap difference there is, like how close A&M is to Alabama. Same thing with
LSU. Well, and I'll be
honest,
I kind of think of Auburn in the same area as Texas A&M and LSU. So,
yeah, well, and historically, they've been better than those teams, at least recently. I think they're in for a little bit of a step backwards this year, but
okay,
we'll find out.
For argument's sake here, I just pulled up Brad Powers yesterday, who we'll have Brad Powers on later in the show. He pulled up his updated power ratings, basically his Vegas ratings.
Right, right.
Boy, he's got Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Georgia 3,
LSU 4.
Four. Yeah. Auburn 8, Texas A&M 11, Mississippi State 15, South Carolina 23. So he's basically saying, I mean, every 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, they've got 7 games against the 25 best teams, according to Brad Powers. Mm. The only team I think that has... I'll have to look it up to be sure. But I think South Carolina was the only team that had a tougher schedule than A&M because I think they play all those same teams, Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, and then the games that they catch from the West end up being tough games. They've got North Carolina open the season. Alabama at Missouri, at Georgia, home to Florida, at Tennessee, at A&M, home to Clemson. So, man, you could argue that A&M's schedule might be tougher than theirs.
Yeah, I think LSU's schedule is really tough. We don't talk about it because they don't play Georgia the way A&M does, but
right,
they still play Florida.
And
they get the other teams, and they get Texas. I think that's a pretty rough-ass schedule for them, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Going to be really interesting because I do think whenever you're in the SEC West, you're going to have a tough schedule, but a lot of these schools schedule hard. And, hey, LSU doesn't need to play Texas. They could play some cupcake and they do well enough, but good for them. A&M playing Clemson, good for them.
Yeah.
Just turns out Alabama usually plays somebody good, but just turns out didn't work out. Let's see. Who has a tougher schedule, Aggie or Michigan? I think
Aggie.
I think Aggie does, yeah. So can a 2-loss SEC champ make the playoff? I think it depends on who I would say almost certainly, depending on who it is. Because they're going to have enough high-quality wins that a 2-loss SEC champ would get in over a 1-loss Pac-12 or somebody like that, I think.
Yeah.
And especially if it's Alabama, because you know how they love them some Alabama. But yeah, I don't think that's impossible.
Now, I will say the brand name will have something to do with it.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot easier for an Alabama or a Georgia or a Florida to get in than it is for Texas A&M or Mississippi State.
I'd bump LSU up to that
easy,
top group.
Easy to get in?
Easier than, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe so.
Although, historically, when you've looked at the rankings for the playoff, A&M's always way up there when they're good early in the season. So I don't know. I think they'd be fine. I think you put them right in that group. Steven asked, are there any trends you leverage for betting the first week of the college football season? similar to how Q1 overs tend to hit the first couple weeks of the bowl season.
I'll tell you what, I posted today as a free play on pregame. I was, you know, last year we played a lot of Alabama first half.
Yeah.
And eventually late in the season, the books sort of adjusted and made it tougher. You had to pay a premium on them. But this particular week, they're playing Duke. They're a 35-point favorite, and they're minus 21 in the first half, which is basically standard.
Yeah.
So they've taken off that Alabama first half tax, and I don't know how long we'll have it for, but so that's what I like. Alabama first half minus 21 against Duke. I don't know. Again, I don't know if they've got a if they're going to pull the parachute on things once it turns ugly. But
yeah.
One thing you know about Nick Saban historically goes out there and dog stomps whoever he plays week one. That's been his MO for a long time. So, but 35 points is a big number. That's why I tend to lean a little bit more towards playing that first half number of 21, because I would have expected it to be 23, 24. Because that's what Vegas started doing late last year. But they're going back to basically standard. Because I think there's a couple other games. I'll have to look it up and see which ones. But there was a couple other 35-point favorites that were also minus 21 in the first half. Michigan may be one I was looking at. There's a couple of them, though. I think there's two games where it's about a 35-point spread. And, yeah, it's minus 21 in the first half. Yeah. So to me that tells you that there's no tax being given on it. Yeah, it is Michigan. That was the one I was looking at. So if you can get Alabama minus 21 first half, that's a play for me.
Yeah, one of the things I look for is to bet against teams with either coaching changes or new quarterbacks after they've had a veteran that's been there for a couple of years. But there's no, I don't have a lot of. Oh, for the first week, I do this. So the first week for
does
me.
Does that mean you don't like Ohio State this week?
I don't like them, but it's not a play for me. Okay. And the first week of the season, I actually probably have more plays that I put on pregame this week than I have in a first week in a long time, because there's two or three angles that I really liked. But week one, week zero for me is more about trying to reinforce what I think about these teams. And so far after last week, I feel pretty good about those teams, and now we'll have a full week of data, basically. And with each week, you get more and more information. But the first week, I'm not saying I'm cautious. I just feel like I'll feel better about it next week, week after. The deeper you get into the season, the more data points you have,
yeah,
the better I feel about my plays. So,
all right, guys, got to tell you about TGS Insurance. If you own your home and you could use some extra dough, listen up. Right now, because TGS wants to save you money. And it's really, really simple. And, you know, everybody will say, oh, it's simple to save money. These guys are making it as easy as possible. They're 15 seconds and a text message. How about that? Grab your phone, text the word money to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. You reply back, and they'll send you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. And boom, maybe they're going to save you some money. Maybe they don't save you money. That's rare, but it happens. There's people who they say, oh, man, this is not the rate that I've got now is better. Okay, you tried. What'd you waste, 15 seconds? Okay, you're all right. Some people have saved $4,000 a year. You don't want to take that chance. Don't be the guy who missed out on saving $4,000 a year. The average customer saved $870 this year. The online rating is nearly perfect because these guys do good business. And you don't need to wait till your renewal because they're going to take care of the back end so you can free your mind and fatten your wallet. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and start saving now.
Yeah, it's hard to stay low and everybody know this, yeah. Come back at it. She ain't never do this before, but she good at it. So she never made love, but she good at it.
Set your clock and grab your job.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. God, I feel so good. College football's here.
I love it.
I mean, this is...
And NFL be here soon.
Well, that's really weird.
It's just chasing. What?
Oh, somebody just went to my front door. It looks like an old lady.
Oh, God. Is it your sex night?
No, no, no. I don't know.
Knew your wife was at the game.
Well, she probably got to the door and heard the dog barking and ran. But that's weird. It looks like a solicitor. And I had my gate locked. How the hell did she get in?
Oh, she jumped the fence?
No, this person isn't jumping the fence. All right, let's squeeze in a call. Justin.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Going sports, man. What's up?
I wanted to get my call in. Thank y'all for taking it. I heard a story on Golic and Wingo this morning, but I don't always feel like I get a complete honest opinion, you know, versus y'all's opinion. I kind of value y'all's opinion a little bit more. I know y'all are very unbiased, but this story about this, I can't remember the guy's name because I didn't get all the details this morning. I got kind of interrupted, but he was trying to be transferred from Coastal Carolina to Virginia Tech.
Brock Hoffman.
To be closer to his mom. Right, yes, sir. And he got denied, you know, and it was kind of funny because when he first submitted it and then, you know, first submitted the transfer and then the NCAA changed some rules that say they weren't directed at him, but they sure seemed like they were kind of directed at him, so to speak. I just kind of want to get both of y'all's opinion on that and see what y'all thought about it. You know, if NCAA's wrong or if he's in the wrong or what's going on with all that.
Well, first of all, I think I think the NCAA's in the wrong. And it's clear that they care. I don't know how to say this. They care about the colleges more than they do the student athletes. And they've also set weird double standards because, I mean, we saw, Justin Fields didn't have to sit out. Jalen Hurts didn't have to sit
there out. There have been a lot of guys that have been allowed waivers for stuff like this.
Yeah.
So but I kind of dove into the story because I, you know, on the surface, everything I've read makes it look like the NCAA is just being a bunch of evil, draconic people, which is what they are. I mean, let's face it, the NCAA in general is, and in my opinion, people should be able to transfer whenever the hell they want for whatever reason.
Because I think there should be a limit to, like, you can't transfer every year.
You get one free transfer.
Yeah, I'm for that.
Yeah,
and honestly, apparently Brock Hoffman, the way he could have just said, oh well, I don't like the apparently that's what Jalen Hurts was able to do, was say I don't like where I'm at in this system now. I'm not gonna get the playing time I want. You could say I'm out on the new coach here, but he basically just told the truth and got denied.
Yeah, well, here's, and I'll throw another side to this in just a second, but realistically, if a guy, like, let's say you're a top five quarterback recruit and Alabama recruits you and two of the other top five and they promise you, hey, you're gonna have a shot, then you get there and you find out, oh no, these guys are getting a better shot than me, and you want to transfer out, you should be able to play that year. And yeah, you get one free transfer, no problem. But as far as this specific thing is concerned, the more I read up on it, if she's that bad off, why is he playing football? Why does he want to play football if he's spending that much time helping her, which is what it's about?
Because he's still a student. I mean,
but you know, it kind of, that's a part of it that rings a little hollow to me. Is that you're going out of your way to say how sick she is and how much help she needs, and that's why you're there. Well, then why aren't you taking a year off from football?
Well, because, I mean,
I'm not saying that that's necessarily what I mean, that's not necessarily what I think. But if I'm looking asking that question. I mean,
that's fair, but whose business
that's the hardship.
Is that?
Well, the point is that they have a rule about a hardship. That's the hardship, is he's got to take care of her.
Okay, what was Jalen Hurts' hardship?
I don't remember.
He's a five-star recruit that got beat out by a better kid.
Wasn't he a graduate transfer though? Didn't he finish school?
No.
I don't know exactly, because frankly I don't pay enough attention to stuff like that because I don't care. But yeah, in this case, they've publicized the hell out of it, and yeah, frankly, yes, he should be allowed to play. But I also think, you know, realistically, if that's going to be your reason for it, well, then why don't you take a year off and help her out? And
then it's just back weird that all these guys, these Justin Fields, oh, he gets beat out, but he wants to be a starter. Oh, okay, we'll let you transfer.
No, listen,
Tate Martell's another one. You sucked here.
And like, how many times has he done it?
Yeah, I mean, is Tate Martell going to transfer again because he still can't be a starter? Like, now you've got a guy who's got a legit reason. His mom's recovering from brain surgery. Why say no? What's the benefit of the NCAA for saying no here? Well, how are they gaining from this?
Well, nobody's saying that it's the right thing. I mean, I'm not saying that at all. I just also think that, you know, the rules that they've set up are kind of silly. The whole system needs to be changed. Coaches are the ones who bitch the most about transfers, which is a real problem, in my opinion. But I think this one, they're out there. It's so, because nobody wants to say, oh, well, his mom has cancer. They must be abusing him somehow by not letting him do this.
Yeah.
And I think there's just a lot more to the story. The other transfers, again, it comes down to me, I don't care if they want to transfer, let them.
But I just don't, like, and those are the three that I, like, Tate Martell got beat out at Ohio State. He was pissed off, so he went to Miami. Justin Fields got beat out at Georgia by a better kid, and he thought he should have been starting, so he's like, oh, I'm out of here. Jalen Hurts got beat out by a better kid, so he's like, oh, I'm out of here.
Hurts did graduate, by the way.
Yeah, so that's what I thought.
He did graduate. He was already in Alabama for three years.
You can't include him in this conversation.
Then what was the deal last? No, because last year he played less games so he could maintain a red shirt.
Yeah, so they can have
this
eligibility.
USA Today article says he graduated.
Yeah, if you graduate, yeah, you can go wherever you want. You can transfer immediately.
Okay.
That's been.
Yeah, he graduated in December. Yeah.
Okay. So. Then I guess that was more about eligibility and not about
right.
But
so that doesn't
Tate Martell and Justin Fields, though, they definitely haven't graduated. They just got beat. Like, I don't get it. I don't get why this one, why we're picking and choosing who's allowed to. There needs to just be, like, you. I really think what you said is the way to go. Everybody can transfer once.
Immediately.
And, yeah.
I mean, not during the season. I think you limit that. You don't get to leave Week 6 to go to another team.
Right. And if you want to transfer a second time, you need to have proof that there's some sort of hardship that's forcing you to transfer. It can't be because I don't like the coach. Because it's got to be sort of like almost like a marriage or a contract. Like, there's got to be some sort of a penalty. If you commit, you're there. Now, you can have a starter marriage and you can get out of one. But once you're in that second one, it's going to cost you to get out of it.
I don't think you're allowed out of the second one. I mean, you get a four-year career, five of the red shirt. If you transfer once and it turns out that doesn't work out either, well, guess what? You either can go play JUCO or you don't play college football.
Okay.
Or you go to a lower level. You can transfer to an FCS team. But
you can take a year off.
I'm not even giving you that. You had your shot. Fine. Those are your options. You can go play FCS or whatever. But you had your two shots.
I don't know about that, because I think there's always going to be circumstances. Like, for instance, this Brock Hoffman's mom. I could see making an exception for something like that. But if it's
it wouldn't matter because he would already have. This would be his first transfer, so you just let him do it under that. And you know, I think it's also kind of, you know, somebody brings a pretty good point. If he were going from Virginia Tech to Coastal Carolina, would it even be an issue? And it's probably not.
No.
And it shouldn't be an issue.
I'm sure the people who are pissed off about it are the coaches in the ACC. Like, that's the guys who are like...
Well, those are the guys who are always against transfers. Like, Gary Patterson whines about that more than anybody with the transfer rules. It's just, I think you could make it fair for everybody. If you say, you know, you can transfer any time, one time for free, just not during the season. Has to be during the transfer portal that they've created, which sounds like Star Wars, and you get to go right through the portal. But you do that one time, and if you decide that you don't like where you are this time, well, your option is you go play FCS or you quit.
Yeah.
And the hardship stuff, if the hardship stuff comes up, well, you know, that you should have thought about playing closer to home to begin with if you knew there was any possibility, and you've already used your transfer, so... Sorry. That would fix it.
Kelly Bryant's another guy I thought of.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah, and he bailed on his team in the middle of the season, which I thought was pretty chicken bleak.
That's the weirdest thing is, like, all of a sudden now it's like, oh, if I'm named the backup instead of grinding to get this job back, I'm just going to like throw my hands up and go somewhere else. Like, who's, I don't know. I mean, what are you going to do in the NFL? You think you're just going to show up and be the man?
Well, Baker Mayfield did it.
Yeah, well, most of these guys don't ever make it to the NFL.
That's true.
Right, Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray.
We're way over here.
All right, Kima Craft Beer Fest, Saturday, September 14th, 2 to 5 p.m. At the Kima Boardwalk, 24 breweries are going to invite you to spend a day sampling some of the finest craft beers. A lot of Texas breweries are going to be down there, a lot of national breweries, and a ton just from here in Houston. Buy advance tickets now. They're $44.95 a person, $39.95 if you're a Landry Select Club member or you have a military ID. They'll be $49.95 day of, so it pays to get in early. Your wristband includes beer samples, giveaways from beer vendors, food samples. There's going to be live music going all day. You can purchase your tickets online at KimaBeerFest.com or on site at the multiple ticket booths there at the Kima Boardwalk. If you want to go extra, the Craft Beer Hotel package includes a one-night stay at the Boardwalk Inn and two tickets to the festival. Details on that found at KimaBeerFest.com. All guests must present a valid ID at the time of purchase and must be 21 years of age to enter. It's KimaBeerFest.com for the Kima Craft Beer Fest.
Are you ready? Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station.